Heute im Podcast Sean Early vom Robert Spaceship Podcast Netzwerk. Er ist Autor des neuen Trendreports, den Robert Spaceship Trendreport, den ihr bei uns auf der Webseite runterladen könnt. Und heute möchte ich mit ihm über die Trends für 2021 sprechen. Ladet euch am besten den Trendreport vorher runter, dann könnt ihr den mitlesen. Ansonsten geht es jetzt los mit Sean Early und dem Robert Spaceship Trendreport. Viel Spaß dabei.
Das digitale Sofa mit Oliver Kemmern.
Ja, hallo, herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Episode von Das digitale Sofa. Heute mit einer Spezialausgabe zum Jahresbeginn quasi 2021 habe ich heute einen besonderen Gast. Und zwar heute ist unser Chemweb New Business Developer Sean Early bei mir. Hallo Sean.
Hey, glad to be here.
Ja, für die Hörer, die dich jetzt noch nicht kennen, du bist Amerikaner und deswegen wird das ein zweisprachiger Podcast. Ich rede Deutsch und der Sean redet Englisch, aber ich glaube, das ist wunderbar zu verstehen. Heute in unserer Spezialausgabe geht es um unseren Trend Report, den wir ja jetzt jedes Jahr Ende des Jahres quasi rausbringen, um so ein bisschen aus unserer Sicht auf die Trends für das kommende Jahr zu gucken. Aber Sean, vielleicht bevor wir anfangen, möchtest du dich vielleicht den Hörern kurz vorstellen, so ein bisschen kleine Biografie, wo du herkommst, was du schon alles so gemacht hast und jetzt halt auch schon seit fast 2 Jahren bei Chemweb bist, was da dein Job ist und was du mit dem Trend Report zu tun hast.
Ja, yeah, sure. Like you said, I joined Chemweb a couple years ago. I'm originally from Seattle, Washington, USA, land of excitement. I moved to Germany about, I'd say almost 13 years ago. And I've been primarily working most of my career in design, user experience, marketing, strategy. I started off as a web designer, and then I kind of worked my way up to graphic design, web design, information architecture, UX, and got into strategy and marketing. And now I do primarily sort of consulting and new business development. And I think it's an exciting field to be in because you can sort of keep your eye on all the latest trends and things happening in technology and business and the internet and all of how it all sort of intertwines in its amazing spaghetti, and hopefully try to kind of discover what the new and useful and valuable pieces are out of the good and the bad. And that kind of leads us to the trend report. I should backstep before. So, I started Chemweb a couple years ago and been doing primarily new business development. I sort of wear many hats. You know, I help with the strategy. I help with the website. I help with the trend report. So I sort of bounce around where I'm at. I'm needed, and I offer advice. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. I don't know. I put my advice where I feel it's needed, but so over the past couple of months, I've been working on the new trend report for 2021, and the trend report is sort of a partnership between the Robot Spaceship Podcast Network that this podcast and other podcasts are part of, in cooperation with Chemweb as sort of the parent company of it all. And so the Robot Spaceship Trend Report is something Ollie and I started a couple years ago, just trying to find a handful of the hottest topics in technology for the year and try to share our insights and offer some advice on where things are hopefully going over the next year. And so the Robot Spaceship Trend Report for 2021 is new. We launched it, I think, in just the end of December. And we're just kind of rolling it out, and we're making it available for download. And we're hopefully going to go over some topics today that should be interesting for the coming year and all the excitement that has happened from last year and I'm sure into the next year as well.
Ja, dazu muss man sagen, der Trendreport ist ja deswegen auch für Chemweb eigentlich ein wichtiges Tool, weil, ich sag mal, unsere DNA, unser Purpose ist ja eigentlich, oder dass wir unseren Kunden da draußen helfen wollen, in einer digitalen Welt erfolgreich zu sein, indem wir halt neue Technologien und auch neue Methoden, wir sagen immer dienlich machen, also uns die angucken und sie auch dann selber erlernen, sie auch bewerten und dann unseren Kunden zur Verfügung stellen. Deswegen ist für uns natürlich dieser Trend Report auch immer so eine eigene Fingerübung, und zu gucken, wo glauben wir denn, wo geht es weiter, wo sollen auch unsere Kunden mal drauf gucken. Und wie gesagt, es ist jetzt das zweite Jahr schon, in dem wir den machen. Und du hast den maßgeblich ja zusammengetragen, Sean. Was waren die Herausforderungen letztes Jahr oder was war die Challenge quasi für diesen Trendreport dieses Jahr?
Yeah, well, I've done previous trend reports before I joined ChemWeb for various clients, and a lot of it was sort of niche based depending on their needs. And we kind of started our first trend report here at ChemWeb and Robot Spaceship. We tried to just say, okay, let's take just a handful of stuff that is interesting for next year that are possibly critical on the technology space and the business space, and just put them in there and get our feelings on it. Obviously, last year or the year before when we did the trend report for 2020, we had some assumptions about where things are going just for 2020 in the future. Obviously, we had no idea where things were actually going to be in 2020 in terms of the pandemic and all, how it has been affected. But interestingly, I think some of the topics that we talked about in 2019 for 2020 were just as critical as the ones we talk about for 2021. They sort of carried over very interestingly, even though, when you do a trend report, you do a lot of research, you read a lot of other trend reports, you kind of get a feel for generally where things are going. So, even if you're off 10% or 15 or 20%, you're still in kind of the general area where things are going. And, a global pandemic that changes the world is not on your radar in any of that, even though, it's always in the back of your mind in worst case scenario, sometime, someday, but you never think it's going to happen the next year. So it's obviously, a lot of the same topics we talked about for 2020, if you read the trend report for yourself, they really do carry over, and it's very interesting. I think to step back, I guess, in terms of the format of the trend report, we do sort of a retrospective of the previous year. We do our sort of a quick overview of the upcoming year. And we also offer these sort of indicators, these little red, green, and yellow color coding. And we have a red coding. It's, if you go through the trend report, you'll see it. There's a red robot, a yellow robot, and a green robot. And the red robot is for wait and watch, which means, something's happening, but it hasn't quite fleshed out yet. So just watch it. We have a yellow indicator, just like the stoplights in the street. Yellow indicator is experiment, which means something's happening and you should be involved, but it hasn't like reached its peak yet to where we say go in 100%. And then we have a green indicator, which is take action. So, it just means it's happening, like social media would be like, it's happening, get out there and use it and do it. So we have these indicators and we try to apply the indicators to each trend. When we started to do the trend report for 2021, we were obviously through the whole pandemic situation. We're at the end of the year and trying to figure out what was going to happen in 2021. Honestly, it was challenging to find anything that wasn't just like, the thing in 2020 is happening because of Corona. So, unfortunately it's just a major topic for this trend report because it basically affects everything for next year. It's it's a major historic transitional moment in the world for business and technology and culture and society in general. So, there's no way we could not indicate, things happening in regards to Corona, but the technology from the previous years were very useful in sort of defining where we're going to go. So I guess as we step through these trends, I think it's sort of an interesting sort of crossover from the old opinion to the new opinion, even though the tech is remain the same, that the more things change, the more they remain the same. I don't know what that is. It's a statement, or I think it's an old Russian literature statement. I don't know where it came from, but you know, it really is true. It really, like, you know, a lot of things were critical in how we are dealing with 2020 and how we were moving into 2021.
Wir haben auch versucht, eigentlich im Trendreport quasi Corona eigentlich mal außen vor zu lassen. Ne? Also du hast schon gesagt, es beeinflusst alles, aber wir haben uns eigentlich fünf major trends.
Yeah, there was a lot of topics that we just kind of had to squeeze together into five key topics. And the five key topics are one, which is sort of the big statement that's getting thrown around is a lot. The term sort of last year for next year was the new normal, which meant, you know, it's going to be normal to get used to how things are different. And so we kind of did a flip on it to call it the new different, which means things are different now. They're not going back to the old way they were. And so because of the pandemic, we have to approach things differently. So there was a major cultural shift, especially for how we approach our businesses moving into the future. We went from sort of considering like agile processes as a nice to have, something to shoot for. And, you know, many businesses, you know, they struggled to survive over the last year. And so agile is sort of a must have these days. So we're talking about not just agile processes, we're like major decision making, make it quickly, fail fast, fail often, and learn from your experiences and adapt and go quickly to not just do better, but survive. And this applies to things such as, you know, how your entire business is structured, how your office is structured. You know, everybody has been working from home for, you know, almost the last year, and we continue to be here in Germany, especially. So we're still in a lockdown situation. So, you know, we're doing this podcast right now in two separate spaces online because that's just the way things have to be. So it's a term called anywhere operations. Intelligent, composable business. So it's some terminology being used to describe a complete flexibility in the workspace. So you're talking about hybrid offices, work from home, perpetual work from home, possibly, you know, the entire workforce is changing because of this situation and how we do business. So very, very critical change of approach for business and technology and how it intertwines for, you know, we struggled to figure it out over 2020, and for 2021, it's going to be more of the same, only we kind of have an idea that that's the way things are going to have to be moving forward.
Was da interessant ist, Sean, also den Trendreport haben wir quasi im letzten Jahr geschrieben und haben versucht, nach vorne zu gucken, und wir sagen jetzt, du hast es genannt, du hast the new normal, durchgestrichen normal, und hast gesagt, the new different. Also das, müssen uns daran gewöhnen, dass die Sachen sich permanent ändern. Ich habe auch wirklich letztes Jahr nach dem ersten Shutdown gedacht, so, ab jetzt haben alle verstanden, Homeoffice, das funktioniert. Die Leute können von zu Hause wunderbar arbeiten. Jetzt habe ich gerade heute, glaube ich, gehört, dass oder gelesen, dass jetzt im zweiten Shutdown, ich glaube, sich die Unternehmen, die Homeoffice erlauben, die haben sich um die Hälfte reduziert. Das heißt, wir haben jetzt deutlich weniger Menschen im Homeoffice. Und ich glaube, es gibt immer noch genug Unternehmer da draußen, die immer noch nicht verstanden haben, dass dieses ganze Thema, ne, wie sieht der neue Workspace aus, viel auch damit zu tun hat, dass wir halt verschiedene, dass wir Arbeiten haben, die wir von zu Hause machen, Arbeiten haben, die wir im Office machen. Deswegen glaube ich, ist das der beste Beweis eigentlich, dass dieser Teil im Trendreport eigentlich eine wichtige Rolle spielt, zu sagen, wie verändert sich unsere Office-Kultur? Ja? Und wie kann die Office-Kultur dazu beitragen, dass wir halt wirklich deutlich widerstandsfähiger gegen solche Disruptionen sind?
Yeah, I mean, I know people who have started new jobs this last year and they've never even been in their office, you know? I mean, I know a friend, he went to work for Google and he's never even been in his office yet, you know? He's been working there for 6 months. Management, high-level position, and he's never been there before just because they're working from home. My wife was in the office for, I don't know, a good part of last year. And then she just got the word that basically they're just staying home office perpetually now, unless she's really needed to come in. But that's just the way it is now. And
ja, aber es gibt ja immer noch genug Leute, die das, oder Unternehmen, die das nicht erlauben. Ja?
Yep.
Die einfach sagen, ihr müsst jetzt kommen. Yep. Vielleicht, weil sie Angst haben. Das hat viel ja mit Vertrauen zu tun, mit Trust.
Ja. Yep.
Vielleicht an der Stelle nochmal kurze Bemerkung, und zwar den Trend Report kann man natürlich auch runterladen, vielleicht wenn jemand gerade am Rechner sitzt und zuhört oder vielleicht im Zug sitzt und zuhört, vielleicht einfach kurz auf chemweb.de/trendreport gehen und dort kann man sich den in Englisch als auch in Deutsch runterladen und kann man vielleicht einfach mitlesen, wenn wir beide den jetzt besprechen, dann kann man den Trend Report als PDF runterladen und in sich dann tatsächlich einfach mal in Ruhe durchlesen oder jetzt auch während wir hier reden.
Yep, and it's free.
It's free, yep. Genau, einfach. Ja. Ja, schön, also the new different.
The new different, yep. that would be topic number one, yeah.
Ja, genau, dazu auch vielleicht, wir haben uns mit dem Thema Office ja selber auch beschäftigt. Chemweb ist letztes Jahr in ein neues Büro umgezogen, in einen neuen Workspace, ehrlich gesagt. Und am 9. März, am 15. März sind alle ins Homeoffice dank des ersten Lockdowns gegangen. Und das heißt, wir konnten noch gar nicht unser neues Office tatsächlich richtig ausprobieren.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, you and I had a discussion before the pandemic when we were in the old office and we were about to move and we were like, well, what are we going to do about this? And the first thing was just like, well, it's a good thing we're moving to a new office. Everybody has to do a little home office for the next week anyway. So it's a good chance to kind of start that. And luckily, we had good timing just because of the way things rolled out that, you know, we got into the new office and everybody were already sort of a little bit comfortable with being set up at home. So at least we had an easy transition there. I think a lot of businesses didn't. They really had to adjust, you know, as they went. But big learning experience for people who aren't, especially people who aren't digital and they're used to just working, you know, the laptop life wherever they work. But, you know, as far as stores and you know, brick and mortar places where people need to be and physically do things, that's a whole other situation there.
Ja. Ich habe auch Unternehmen kennengelernt, die wirklich erst mit der Pandemie angefangen haben, zum Beispiel so Kollaborationstools, was ich wie Teams oder wie Slack oder sowas einzuführen, die vorher noch gar nicht. Ich glaube speziell, ich meine, du hast die amerikanische Brille auch auf. Ich glaube in Deutschland speziell, das Thema Homeoffice war ja immer, oder Mobile Office oder Telearbeitsplatz, würde man ja in Deutschland sagen. Das war ja schon immer so ein Thema, was immer, in Deutschland herrscht ja die Angst, dass die Leute da nicht genug arbeiten, wenn sie nicht sozusagen unter der ständigen Kontrolle sitzen. Ich glaube, da verändert sich natürlich eine Menge und ich glaube, da sollten auch, deswegen, der Indicator ist hier klar auf, der ist ja klar, quasi gesetzt, dass wir sagen, hier guckt euch das auf jeden Fall an. Ja, der Indicator ist auf grün, ja, unser kleiner Robot. Das heißt, wir empfehlen unbedingt sich das Thema neues Arbeiten anzugucken.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we're already doing it. I think we can avoid it in a lot of places. You know, like I said, that, you know, people who work in tech, they're used to sort of being on their laptop and so they, where they sit is, you know, not really as important, you know, as long as the communication tools are there, you know, and we've obviously put these collaborative tools to their ultimate test here, especially with, you know, the schools getting the kids online quickly. That's a whole other new thing for, you know, I mean, in the States, they homeschool a lot. That's a big thing. But in Germany, that is not a big thing. And so that was, I think, a major learning experience here is to see how well that works. And I think they're still working with that, you know, and trying to figure out how smoothly that's working. But I think, you know, business, I think we're a lot easier to transition. I think other things like education, that's a whole different story. But there are sort of three things in this key trend with the new different, you know, I didn't get these myself. These are from a trend report from Gartner that was pretty solid, I think, in their input for next year. And their focus was intelligent, composable business. And that's, you know, the way you approach next year with your business. And that is in three topics. It's composable thinking. So think differently, think agilely, think compartmentally, think how to distribute things different ways, take chances. Like I said, it's an agile process, you know, try and fail and learn and adapt. It's about composable architecture, which means just the structure of your company, like whether it's your IT infrastructure, whether it's, you know, where your people are sitting, or whether you have separate offices or home offices. It's the distribution of the physical. And there's composable technology, which is just how to use the tech to, you know, implement all those things. So whether using online tools, you know, online chats, you know, things like Slack, things like Teams, all that, you know, you have to use these pieces and parts interchangeably. And that's critical. I mean, it's survival at this point. People are still struggling. So, you know, it's not a time to wait, you know, and hope things are going to get better soon. Even if they do, you know, with vaccinations and all that, it's going to be a rough year all around. So, it's a time to utilize the tools we have and try new things to make things work quickly.
Ja. Also wir haben das im Deutschen quasi, also composable im Sinne von im Prinzip untereinander austauschbar und aufeinander anpassbar. Im Deutschen gibt es da kein vernünftiges, finde ich jetzt kein, also komponierbares Denken geht ja so nicht. Also wir haben es nachhaltiges Denken, nachhaltige Architektur, nachhaltige Technologie genannt, im Sinne von nicht nur ökologisch, sondern tatsächlich auch, was hat also was stabil ist und was zulässt, dass man viele Sachen auch zwischen untereinander austauschen und ändern und neu zusammenfügen kann. Vielleicht an der Stelle, und da finde ich auch ganz spannend, wir haben im Rahmen des digitalen Sofas letztes Jahr mit Vitra gesprochen, im Prinzip mit Raphael Gielgen, dem Trendscout von Vitra.
Right.
Und an der Stelle kann man nur empfehlen, da nochmal in den Podcast reinzuhören bei uns, der genau das eigentlich gesagt hat. Ne? Die Arbeitswelt, auch die physische, wird sich ändern. Man wird ins Office nur noch kommen, ins Headquarter eigentlich nur noch kommen, um Rituale zu feiern. Und das Unternehmen eigentlich oder die Arbeitsflächen mehr an Turnhallen, an Gym erinnern. Und es gibt einen Geräteraum, da stehen dann verschiedene Büromöbel, wie man sie halt gerade braucht. Das ist dieses Composable. Man benutzt dann die man gerade für die aktuelle Arbeit braucht. Man benutzt gerade die Tools, die man gerade für diese Arbeit braucht. Und wie gesagt, man denkt auch dann unterschiedlich in verschiedene Richtungen. Schauen, das war das Thema The New Different, haben wir es genannt, unser erster Punkt. Lass uns vielleicht einfach mal mit einer klaren Empfehlung sich das anzugucken. Gehen wir mal zum nächsten Punkt. Das ist ein guter Bekannter, ein alter Bekannter. Über 5G wird schon, 5G wird schon eine Menge gesprochen die ganze Zeit. So langsam wird's ernst. So langsam kommt 5G in den Markt.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it a lot over the past few years. Nobody quite knows what it's going to be like. There's a lot of assumptions, a lot of people, you know, making more bigger assumptions than others. But it is clear that the technology is starting to roll out. The mobile devices are starting to roll out. Some countries have more infrastructure than others. There's still, like we said in last year's trend report, there's a lot of political and business decisions still needing to be made for the network infrastructure, but it is slowly rolling out and being turned on in places. And, you know, we made this a yellow indicator because it's still, you know, this isn't going to be the year where everything is like super fast and amazing and different, but I think we're going to slowly start to see little steps into it. Even with just, you know, if you buy a new iPhone for next year, it's going to be 5G capable, you know, I mean, most of them, I'd say, you know, a good percentage of them. And moving forward, all phones are going to be eventually 5G capable. It's not a matter of, you know, not being plugged in. It's just a matter of when the speed is going to be ramped up in the networks that will continue to be built. So I think we'll see this a lot in, one, in the devices, two, in just some sort of gradual speed increases as they turn on. So, you know, we're talking about maybe faster download speeds. We're talking about, you know, things like in gaming, you know, maybe the multiplayer online games, especially, this will be something that will be impacted relatively quickly within the next year, I would imagine, as the new gaming devices come out too, and how they connect to mobile. 5G will basically make, you know, I mean, you don't see it when you play a game online with somebody else who's not in the same place with you, but there is a general lag in that behavior. But that'll be something that'll be almost instantaneous in speed within the next couple years, I would say. The same with your download streaming speeds. They will be a lot faster within the next year or two. So again, our yellow indicator is just, you know, wait and watch. You know, don't be afraid to buy a new 5G phone, but maybe it won't be fast for another year. You don't know. And I think also some of the places where we're going to start seeing this also are just in the back end of places where we don't physically see, like, you know, like I'm just scrolling through my notes here. You know, there's a lot of tech that is being built and implemented to be positioned. But again, the speed itself won't be sort of witnessed. You know, you can buy the fast car, but you're not going to go down the Autobahn just yet. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Also zumindest auch im privaten Bereich. Ich glaube, im Business-Bereich gibt es ja durchaus auch interessante Anwendungen. Im IoT-Bereich gibt es sicherlich interessante Anwendungen dafür. Ich glaube auch, also gelber Indicator ist sicherlich richtig, das zu gucken, zumal ja auch jetzt die 3G-Technologie abgeschaltet wird, also wenn ich das richtig gelesen habe. Und werden wir natürlich jetzt einfach in der nächsten Zukunft einfach auf 5G gehen, was das freie Netz, was das Netz draußen angeht, was aber auch wahrscheinlich Smart Factory-Anwendung angeht, was tatsächlich die industrielle Nutzung, die B2B-Nutzung von 5G-Technologien angeht. Hier muss man immer sagen, es ist ja nicht so, dass das Internet grundsätzlich damit viel schneller wird, sondern wir sind da in der Lage, über tatsächlich ein Funksignal einfach eine viel höhere Bandbreite zu schaffen. Ne? Yeah. Nicht so hohe Reichweite, yeah, sondern eher Bandbreite, yeah, zu schaffen. Um das nochmal vielleicht auch den Leuten zu erklären, die sich damit noch nicht so richtig auseinandergesetzt haben.
Yeah.
Sehr schön. Punkt 3.
Yeah, point three, and that's
entertainment.
It's called entertainment stays home, which is, you know, obvious as well. But that kind of segues from the 5G thing is, you know, everybody is stuck at home for the most part. They're using streaming services, the Netflix, all that. You know, basically everybody's at home online constantly, and so they're entertaining themselves constantly with, you know, their media consumption, their shopping, their communication, all of that is going from their online networks with their devices. And, you know, obviously we don't have a nice, fancy, super fast 5G network to implement that. So, you know, once that speeds up, it'll be much more amazing. But for now, you know, we're still waiting a little bit for the loading icon to load up when we turn on a Netflix movie or whatever. But again, everybody is at home online. And I think the key thing there, especially for a lot of clients and people who run businesses, is that's where people are shopping, you know? So that's where their eyes are. So, you know, before people were doing, you know, they had their daily commute, they'd go to work, they'd do their thing, they're out shopping, you know, they were experiencing marketing, you know, a lot more externally. And these days, everything is online, either on their TV or on their laptop or on their device. And, you know, the marketing is really switching focus to hyper-focus on that as the key demographic now. I mean, we knew it was going that way anyway, obviously, you know, when, you know, print and then radio and then TV went to web and then web went to mobile. And we all kind of had this big arch where there was these sort of gentle transitions between the two, but now it's just like full on at home on your device. I mean, your people are, you know, whether it's good or bad, you know, they're scrolling their phone basically all day, either to work or to communicate or to shop or just to enjoy themselves and, you know, quote unquote, relax. But that's where businesses have to be to make money these days. And that's where, you know, that's where the marketing and advertising money is being spent to reach people, because, you know, they're at home, they see something interesting, they buy it, and it gets shipped to their house. And that's the that's a supply chain right there. So it's sort of a very hyper focused version of what we thought, you know, it was going to be a couple years ago. But that's really, you know, social media marketing and influencer marketing and online marketing, it's getting down to, you know, very fractionable, you know, adjustments just to reach that extra amount of eyes. And I think the attention span as well is way short now because people are just scrolling blah, 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 you know? So I think the amount of time people spend when they see your ad is so short these days that, you know, there really is if you're not doing online marketing and social media marketing, you should have been doing, you should have started yesterday. You know what I mean?
Ja, ist ja nicht nur das Marketing, das ist natürlich wichtig. Aber was wir natürlich auch sehen, ist das Thema Live-Shopping. Ist natürlich ein riesen Trend für die kommenden Jahre. Wir sehen das ja schon in China, funktioniert das schon super. Dadurch, dass da halt dort viele Services integriert sind. Das heißt, ich kann da tatsächlich irgendwie an so vergleichbaren Portalen wie zum Beispiel hier Instagram oder sowas, ich gucke mir ein Video an und kann direkt in dem Video quasi kaufen. So muss man sich das vorstellen. Das ist dann live, da kommt ein Influencer, der zeigt mir einfach irgendwas, filmt es ab und sagt, so, jetzt kannst du kaufen und dadurch werden gigantische Umsätze generiert. Da sind wir hier im Westen noch ein bisschen hinten dran, weil es noch keine vernünftige Lösung gibt. Es gibt ja also keine integrierte Lösung, wo Bezahlen, Checkout direkt tatsächlich aus der Plattform raus funktioniert. Momentan haben wir das Thema, ich glaube jetzt Instagram, die sind drauf und dran, das zu machen, dass ich immer noch sozusagen so einen Wechsel habe. Ich muss aus meiner Plattform raus in den Shop gehen. Das wird sicherlich auch spannend werden. Das ist natürlich auch was natürlich auch wiederum kleineren Unternehmen oder Labels oder sowas die Möglichkeit gibt. Wir haben das auch im letzten Jahr gesehen, auch forciert durch den Lockdown, dass die ersten Messen, also dass es da ganz viele Trading-Fairs und sowas gar nicht mehr gab, logischerweise. Und dann wurden Live-Messen auf Instagram und überall gemacht. Da wurden Remote-Events veranstaltet, die dann live gestreamt wurden. Das freut unsere bei Chemweb natürlich, die Streaming-Unit, die Leute, die bei uns Livestreamings machen und natürlich da jetzt ganz viele neue, interessante Sachen haben. Aber zum Beispiel bei Instagram, also ein Live-Messe, quasi wo man live sich zuschaltet, das haben wir auch ausprobiert, das funktioniert eigentlich auch klasse. Und da brauche ich dann gar nicht mal eine große Technologie im Hintergrund, dann kann ich das tatsächlich mit meinem Smartphone machen. Also ich glaube, das wird wirklich interessant. Da sollten auf jeden Fall deswegen dicker grüner Robot, Robbie.
Well, yeah, von uns. I mean,
ja, das ganze Thema bleibt zu Hause und guckt euch an, wie ihr die Leute direkt erreichen könnt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to step back for a second, I mean, the entire entertainment industry, you know, is completely disrupted, you know. I mean, all the conferences that people went to, whether it's a business conference or whether, you know, you go to a comic book convention because of it's a hobby or whatever, you know, all of this, you know, external mass shopping and selling is disrupted. You know, concerts are disrupted, all of that. It's all at home now. So, you know, all of this has to either go away or people who need to run a business out of it, you know, especially the people who rely on especially big conferences or tech conferences or whatever, they're doing it online. So, you know, we went from just occasional webinars to pretty much everybody struggling to stream now, you know, and so majority of that sales, regardless of what business or industry you're in, is being done with webinars and live streams and hybrid sort of social media conferences and stuff. And I'd have to say it's been a major focus of what we've been doing, is just helping this huge demand of people who are coming to us saying, how do we get in on this? Because it's been, you know, I think it's, the demand is overwhelming. And I think the ability, the struggle to keep up with the demand as well is hard too, because, you know, in in China, they're a little bit more caught up on the online shopping thing, the social shopping thing, because their apps are so well integrated with their banking and their chat functions like WeChat and all that. So I think they've been doing that for a few more years. That behavior is already built, but I think we're going to continue to see a huge movement in terms of that happening over here in the West and a lot of online shopping apps where, you know, you can basically just flip on live and you can sell something to a large follower base on social media and they can quickly click the buy button and do it. And if that's not the case, then at least there's a major webinar for a large event where there's a lot of different entertainment and a lot of different speakers and there's a lot of different communication and sales functionality built into it as well. That's huge. It people are struggling to catch up last year, and I think over the next year it's just going to be even more. So,
genau. Also ich glaube, da sollte ich glaube die selbst wenn wir alle geimpft sind und wenn das wieder einigermaßen normal wird, ich glaube, das wird nie mehr ganz zurückgehen. Es wird eine Menge hybride Events weiterhin noch geben. Ich glaube grundsätzlich sind Unternehmen gut beraten, zu gucken, wie sie sich so positionieren können, dass sie auch durchaus ihre Leistung und auch ihre Produkte quasi zu den Leuten nach Hause, ins Homeoffice, privat zu den Familien kriegen können und nicht darauf warten müssen, dass die Leute tatsächlich zu ihnen kommen und dort irgendwo lange Reisen auf sich nehmen. Oder auch nur einfach irgendwo hin zum Shoppen kommen, sondern da wird sich einiges ändern. Das glaube ich auch. Und auch wenn die konkrete Pandemiesituation vorbei ist, werden sicherlich einige Sachen davon übrig bleiben, weil sie einfach viel bequemer sind und weil sich einfach wahrscheinlich auch genug Leute positioniert haben. Vielleicht an der Stelle nochmal so ein bisschen zu gucken. Also wir haben TikTok, also um es nicht zu lang zu machen. TikTok hat natürlich einen riesen Boom jetzt gemacht. Da muss man allerdings abwarten, was passiert jetzt auch in der neuen Regierung in den USA mit TikTok, was passiert in Indien mit TikTok, also wie groß kann TikTok wirklich werden. Und wir haben natürlich Twitch, ja, die Gamer, eigentlich eine Livestreaming-Gamer-Plattform. Vielleicht noch ein Wort zu Twitch. Sean, du als ehemaliger Musiker, ja.
Twitch is huge right now. I mean, you have so many musicians, you know, it's not just the beginner and the non-professional, you know, musicians who are struggling now. It's the major label musicians, you know, they can't go out and do major concert tours, you know? And so everybody who is an entertainer, performer, musician, whatever, is struggling to have any sort of platform. And Twitch, which is, you know, mostly just for gamers to live stream gaming, it's becoming an entertainment platform. You know, I mean, there are major performers who are live streaming on a daily basis now. You can go there and you can see, you know, DJs and producers and rock stars just normal people reading books or whatever. You know, there's so much entertainment and people are just going on and they're doing a live chat and, you know, they're working for tips or they're working for subscription fees or whatever. And they're taking advantage of these platforms because that's really the only way they can get out there and deliver, you know, new live experiences. So I don't think that's going to change much either. I think we're all going to kind of start floating to this sort of hybrid where a lot of that behavior just becomes sort of part of what they do. You know, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of events, you know, you think of like a stuffy business event or a tech event where, you know, older people go and they conduct business and, you know, then there's like concerts and things where the younger crowds go to, and that doesn't exist anymore. And I don't know how much of it is coming back, like you said. So it's a complete cultural shift in where people are going, especially the younger people, to get that sort of fresh entertainment, you know? And I think that's just a behavior that's going to continue to grow, whether it stays Twitch or whether it grows into other sort of niche markets and platforms, I don't know, but you know, Twitch is hot right now. And it's, you know, I logged in a little while ago and it's like, I can't even believe the variety of different stuff on there. It's not just gamers anymore.
Lass uns vielleicht Sean mal zum nächsten. Also ich glaube, also dieser Punkt, was passiert alles? Wie kommt Entertainment zu uns nach Hause und wie lange bleibt es da? Das ist eines der längsten Kapitel im Trend Report, deswegen empfehlen wir dadurch, den einfach unter camweb.de/ Trend Report einfach runterzuladen. Gibt es in Deutsch oder Englisch. Und das da nochmal im Detail nachzulesen. Da haben wir auch ein paar interessante Links drin, wo man auch ein bisschen nochmal tiefer nachlesen kann. Da haben wir viele Beispiele drin. Wir können das hier im Podcast nur so ein bisschen oberflächlich anreißen. Schon, lass uns zum Punkt 4 kommen. Hier auch ein alter Bekannter, eine alte Bekannte, die künstliche Intelligenz, die Artificial Intelligence, aber im Zusammenspiel mit ja, im Prinzip, wir haben es Gesundheitsfürsorge genannt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the previously when we talked about AI for future trends, you know, there's a lot of vision of you know, robots and you know, sci-fi movies and you know, 2001 Space Odyssey, HAL 9000, you know, and you don't really think in terms of the reality of where AI is going to be. And I think this year and next year, we're really going to kind of start experiencing that personally, because, you know, AI is a technology that nobody can quite grasp until, you know, they're expecting this iPhone moment of like the robot to come up and shake your hand. That's what everybody kind of thinks that experience is going to be. But in reality, we've really been experiencing AI a lot over the past couple of years. And because of the pandemic, we've been engaging with it a lot. In context, I don't think a lot of people really think about it, but AI is one of the critical things that makes Apple, Siri, Google, Amazon, Alexa, all these voice-activated smart home devices work. You know, AI is what we're engaging with there. So we are actually engaging with AI there, whether we consider it AI or not. And because of the pandemic, healthcare-related AI and how it combines with these things has been huge in terms of just like rapid development last year and rollout for next year. So, you know, lots of hospitals have been ordering Amazon Echoes just as ways to do hands-free communication with patients and inter-office communication and, you know, just communicating with turn the lights on or order a thing or, you know, play music while I operate or whatever. There, you know, there's a lot of this is happening in the background that we don't see. And there's, you know, that's sort of the friendly front end. And there's also the sort of the slightly sinister back end of just mass surveillance, especially in China last year. We talked about it in our last trend report, but, you know, their AI-based surveillance is huge. And they actually said that they were going to roll it out in 2020 and sort of flip the switch with facial recognition being mandatory. Facial recognition for payment, you know, using social credit systems and how it relates with all that, a large surveillance network combined with AI. And I think the pandemic was a good use case to turn up the volume on that and make it so. And I think, you know, it's something a lot of countries, you know, in Asia and in the West are working towards building up, you know, just to whatever levels they're legally allowed to. But there's a lot of AI happening in the background, just in terms of things like cameras that do sensors in airports to see who has a fever, you know, or technology that you can wear so that your company can track if your employees are getting too close to each other. Like in sporting events, they're using that now on all the football teams. So there's a lot of that happening in the background that we don't see that is going to start being visible over the next year.
Ja, ich meine, es ist ja auch schon so, dass, also KI ist ja mehr als nur Sprachsteuerung. Ich glaube, da kommen tausend Sachen. Ich glaube, deswegen kann man das Thema Künstliche Intelligenz, da müsste man erstmal, glaube ich, anfangen zu diskutieren, was heißt Künstliche Intelligenz? Ist es nur Big Data? Ist es Machine Learning? Ist es wirklich echte Intelligenz, die es ja so erstmal nicht gibt? Ich glaube, da ist das Feld viel zu groß, als dass wir es im Trend Report abbilden. Aber ich fand es schön, jetzt den Fokus da mal drauf zu legen, wo konkret wir tatsächlich mit Künstlicher Intelligenz, es gibt ja auch, ich glaube, Spracherkennung, die anhand des Hustens erkennen kann, ob du eine hohe Wahrscheinlichkeit hast, Covid-infiziert zu sein. Es gibt auch Leute, gerade die jetzt alleine zu Hause sind, die mit anfangen, mit Devices wie der Alexa anfangen zu sprechen. Ja, also dort hilft man den Leuten, gerade Älteren oder sowas, die alleine zu Hause sind, auch mit diesen Themen. Schauen, um das an der Stelle mal nochmal, wir haben gesagt, ist klar, ein grüner Robbie, ja, das ist klar auch eine Empfehlung, das sollte man sich angucken. Kannst du so da draußen unseren Hörerinnen und Hörern so auch in den Business-Kontext vielleicht einfach mal sagen, wo sollen die drauf gucken, wo kann man selber jetzt auch schon mal anfangen, KI im Unternehmen einzusetzen, sich damit zu beschäftigen?
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, AI is it's a very broad topic, and you can't really just sort of hold it in your hand and see the technology. You know, it happens in the background. And I think one of the easiest ways to get involved and position yourself for this sort of voice technology business interface and sales interface that is going to continue to grow over the next year and into the future is to make sure, you know, you're familiar with the devices, you're using the devices. If you do online sales or you have products, make sure they are voice searchable. There's a whole search engine optimization just for voice that you can do for your online business and products and services. There's also, you know, just making sure, you know, if somebody ask for something with voice, then your business can be found and discovered and shoppable even. So, you know, just keeping an eye on that industry and that technology and making sure that you're doing what you can to make sure that it integrates in context to how people are going to be asking for the businesses that you provide. I think that's critical. You know, we can't anticipate the future of where that's going to go, but you know, we use voice command AI like all the time, and especially with health related situations. What was that? I was trying to find the stats here. So this may not be a huge stat in the West, but in regards to Asia specifically, a key fact is that in 2021, 50% of all searches will be voice. It's kind of a hard number to believe. That's really big, but I guess in Asia especially, they use voice a lot more than we do here. We type in our searches more, but mobile voice search is huge over there, 50% of all searches. So, you know, if what you're doing technology-wise online with your business is not searchable via voice, it's going to need to be very soon. And that's just one example of where to position. And I think you can try to do that. You can also offer services that provide that. There's a whole industry evolving right there just in voice search and voice optimization.
Jetzt mit Blick auf die Uhr, Sean, kommen wir zum fünften Punkt, der mir persönlich ja sehr am Herzen liegt, und ich glaube auch, dass der tatsächlich das ist, es muss ein Trend werden.
Yeah, it's
ohne geht's nicht. Ja.
Yeah. It's ESG and sustainability is the last topic, and that's ESG is environmental, social, and corporate governance, and sustainability. I mean, we're all familiar with that as well, but I think what's critical in terms of this trend report is not just that it's good to do. It's I think the political and economic and you know, just the social demand for sustainability and sustainable businesses moving into the future is only going to grow. And I think, you know, even legally, the requirements to make sure that you are building sustainable businesses is going to continue to grow and become critical in any business structure. And ESG, which is environmental, social, and corporate governance, and how you relate to that and how you make decisions is going to be critical too. I think one interesting factor that we talked about in the trend report is the fact that you know, there are a lot of, especially tech companies, who have been much faster at implementing and making decisions and providing value to not just their clients and customers, but society in general, to help during the pandemic. They've been able to move faster and make quicker decisions and implement than most governments. So we're going to be seeing a lot of companies sort of step in, whether you like it or not, with these roles to sort of enable better qualities of life. Well, I'd say better, hopefully, you know, probably some ways not so good, but, you know, ideally, I think things like, you know, Facebook offering, you know, alerts about the pandemic, offering information, you know, these types of features, you know, we rolled out an app that had different features than the normal Corona app over the last year. And we were able to get it out and distribute it quickly, and it became valuable as well. So there's a lot of companies that are really stepping in during this crisis and providing value where government and bureaucratic slowness is just keeping things back. And in some ways, it's, you know, it's not just slowing things down, but it's really it's being critical that these companies are stepping in and helping out where they can. So I think because of the pandemic and because of the new agile way of doing things, I think there's a lot of companies that are sort of using that agile mindset to actually implement social change in society and in their business as well as key critical defining, you know, business strategies as well. So I think there's a lot of, you know, it's hard to sort of describe because we're still in the middle of it, but there's a lot of momentum on the social end in companies and economics to be motivated to do good and also be forced to do things better as well. I'm sure you have some input on that as well.
Yeah, ich glaube ja auch, dass ich glaube, die das Thema Umweltschutz, das Thema auch Nachhaltigkeit, also sowohl im Sinne von Schutz für den Umwelt, aber auch ressourcenschonend zu arbeiten, das wird sicherlich ein wichtiges Thema werden, also Nachhaltigkeit auch im Sinne von einem neuen Wirtschaftsmodell, was es gibt. Da gibt es ja heute auch schon viel Literatur zu, dass Unternehmen statt nur vom Finanzmarkt getrieben, purpose-driven sind, also dass die Unternehmen ihrer Bestimmung eigentlich folgen sollen. Da passiert ja schon jetzt eine Menge und ich glaube auch, dass es wichtig, dass hier Schritte unternommen werden, die dazu führen, dass man Wirtschaft anders denkt, weil die Zeit läuft gegen uns, ja, und irgendwann werden die Unternehmen, die nicht nachhaltig arbeiten, die nicht klimaneutral arbeiten, die werden dadurch einen Nachteil haben. Beziehungsweise andersrum, ich glaube, die Unternehmen, die sich heute schon dem Thema Nachhaltigkeit widmen, die sich heute dem Thema Umweltschutz in ihren Produkten und in ihren Prozessen widmen, die werden in absehbarer Zeit einen riesen Vorteil haben. Weil machen wir uns nichts vor, also umweltschutzbezogene Produkte sind nicht teurer, sondern alle anderen Produkte sind eigentlich noch viel zu billig, weil sie halt einfach die nachhaltigen Effekte beziehungsweise die Effekte, die nach dem Lebenszyklus der Produkte kommen, die Effekte, die bei der Herstellung der ganzen nicht nachhaltigen Produkte entstehen, gar nicht mit einkalkuliert werden. Und ich glaube, das wird sich ändern, das muss sich ändern, weil die Zeit läuft da gegen uns und wir müssen so schnell wie möglich den Klimawandel stoppen und müssen CO2-Ausstoß stoppen und wir müssen auf die Gesundheit unserer Mitbürgerinnen und Mitbürger, aber auch unserer Mitarbeiterinnen und Mitarbeiter achten. Und deswegen glaube ich, ist das ein Riesenthema und das wird sicherlich ein Trend sein. Ich glaube auch nicht, dass das noch zu stoppen ist. Das Thema Diversity spielt da genauso eine Rolle. Die Welt da draußen ist extrem komplex geworden. Allein die Sachen, die wir gerade schon im Vorfeld hier erklärt haben, künstliche Intelligenz wird immer noch mehr dazu beitragen, dass die Komplexität noch weiter steigen wird. Das kann ein Mensch eigentlich gar nicht mehr richtig schaffen. Und deswegen müssen wir auf die mentale Gesundheit unserer Mitarbeiterinnen und Mitarbeiter auch achten. Und wir müssen uns angucken, wie wir da Nachhaltigkeit in diesem Kontext halt auch leben. Und das wird am Ende, und du hast es schon gesagt, das wird natürlich auch unsere Gesellschaft verändern müssen.
Yeah, well, like you know, to put it into context, I mean, look at the way things are going in the States right now, in the political climate. I mean, things are changing and they need to change and there's not going to be a way to stop it. So change is good. And I'd say, you know, read the trend report, get a good overview of it, and apply things to your business to not only survive, but to, you know, make the world a better place, obviously. But, you know, we're all sort of being forced to change just to exist at this point. So, you know, use this time of change to you know, better position yourselves. And I think, you know, the future looks bright. I don't think it looks dim, but it will be different, definitely. So take advantage of the things that we have that are available and use them for change.
Das ist ein schönes Schlusswort, Sean. Ich glaube, Change und Transformation, das sind die wichtigsten Begriffe, die wir jetzt auch im letzten Jahr ja tatsächlich sehr stark haben erfahren müssen. Ich glaube, alle Leute haben auch mitbekommen, dass das Wandel durchaus auch gut funktioniert. Also wer auch vielleicht sich nicht getraut hat, mal Transformationsprozesse zu starten, der hat vielleicht im letzten Jahr ja auch die Erfahrung gemacht, dass das Wandel gar nicht wehtut, sondern man nur manchmal den Mut haben muss, loszugehen. Mit unserem Trendreport wollen wir Inspirationen geben, wollen wir vielleicht auch ein bisschen Mut machen. Viele Sachen haben wir selber ausprobiert, haben wir auch unsere eigenen Erfahrungen damit gemacht, die wir gerne teilen. Also sprecht uns einfach an, geht auf unsere Webseite, schreibt uns einfach eine E-Mail an kontakt@chemapp.de, ladet den Trend Report runter, abonniert unseren Newsletter, schauen, was soll man noch alles machen.
I would say, join the mailing list, read the trend report, apply the things it talks about. And if anything sparks ideas or you need to talk about it, we offer workshops and consulting to help you figure out how that applies to your specific business or your needs. So, you know, don't just sit and chew on it as well. You know, if you need to talk, then, you know, we offer a free initial consultation just to see how we can help you. And you know, please reach out and use that opportunity to see, you know, what we can do, or we can offer advice on what you need to do with that.
Sehr schön. Sean Early, vielen, vielen Dank, dass du dir Zeit genommen hast, den Trend Report hier mal im das digitale Sofa zu erklären.
Thank you.
Ist immer wieder schön, auch mal wieder hier englische Sprache zu hören. Ja, ist ja gut. Das zeigt ja auch ein bisschen auch durchaus die Diversität bei ChemApp. Wir haben ja viele Mitarbeiter aus verschiedenen Ländern. Wir versuchen auch immer aus verschiedenen Bereichen rund um die Welt auch Impressionen bei uns mit einzubauen. Deswegen ist immer schön, dass du auch mit einem durchaus ja auch kritischen amerikanischen Blick da drauf guckst. Auch da mit einer anderen Kultur einfach auch uns und auch unseren Kunden natürlich immer wieder auch neue Impulse geben kannst. Also, Sean, bleib gesund. Das war das digitale Sofa-Spezial an dieser Stelle zu unserem Trendreport 2021. Wie gesagt, downloadbar unter chemapp.de/trendreport. Wenn man bei uns den Newsletter abonniert, dann kriegt man so Sachen wie den Trendreport einfach automatisch in die Mailbox geschossen. Und wir freuen uns auf jedes Feedback und auf Kontaktaufnahmen. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, dann gebt uns einen Daumen hoch oder 5 Sterne bei Apple Podcasts. Empfehlt uns weiter. Ihr findet uns überall auf den Social-Media-Kanälen und auch auf den ganzen Podcast-Portalen. In diesem Sinne, bleibt uns gewogen und gesund. Bye-bye.